We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
I'm former Major League pitcher Andy Pettitte. I teamed up with Tunnel to Towers after seeing their life-changing work with military and first responder families. Now we're expanding our mission to help veterans struggling with homelessness. We want to help them rebuild their lives not only by giving them a home, but by providing the services they need. Please join me in donating at T2T.org.
My name is Wally Joyner. I was a first baseman for the Angels, Padres, Royals, and Braves. I give the Tunnel to Towers because of what they provide for the veterans, the military, the first responders, the police, the firemen who go out and put their lives in danger for our freedoms. I think it's an incredible charity, an incredible foundation. Their goals of helping the families that protect us. I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation is committed to delivering mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families with young children. Never forget.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program on this Wednesday morning as we start out another week of covering this great sport of kings, Las Vegas style. From Las Vegas, Nevada, your gaming capital, here at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard, and of course at YouTube on the South Point Studios streaming network. We welcome you to the show on this Wednesday. It's going to be an exciting week of racing, I can tell you that. This week coming up, we'll try to lay it all out and framework it for you today. We also want to say hi to all our listeners here in town at our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. That, of course, is the local radio station outlet for the games of USC football and the Rams in the NFL. Both the USC football, the Trojans, and, of course, the Los Angeles Rams, their play-by-play for all of their games right here at our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, as well with us. And, of course, 107.1 FM. And we welcome all of you that are listening and watching through the streaming that we have at our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global. How about the iPhone, Android? We've got that covered with the phone apps. You know we're going to have the apps for you. KSHP app, of course, will get you listening to us. And, of course, the YouTube app will get you listening and watching us as well on your iPhone or your Android. And, of course, I guess you can get us on your Google phones, too, if you want to. I'm sure they have an app there for that. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to the Race Day Show for this Wednesday as we wrap it up here from Las Vegas, Nevada. As far as the weather is concerned here in Las Vegas, right now outside, believe it or not, 77 degrees at about 10 minutes after 7 in the morning here in Las Vegas. 77. We're going to get up to 104, and it seems like, although this is fall, we expected that we'd be down into the 80s by now, the normal temperature range at this time of the year, and we were for just a couple of days before autumn. Now we're back up into the hundreds, but not the excessive heat. It'll be tipping off, we'll top off at 104 degrees today, but for the foreseeable future up until next Tuesday, which is we got a seven-day run going, our daytime highs will be a little bit over 100 degrees here in Las Vegas. Of course, the weather around the country, temperatures for today, for example, Miami 88, New York City 69 degrees with cloudy, a little bit of clouds over there. Chicago is sunny and 73 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, still the hot spot in the nation at 107 degrees. As I say, we'll get up to 104. Down in Los Angeles, a bit the weather is a little bit higher than normal, too. The temperature will be 94 degrees there in SoCal. So we've got a little heat going on with us. And, of course, in the southeast, you know what's happening with all of the aftermath of the Hurricane Helene and all the help they need there. Our thoughts and our prayers really go out to those folks there in that part of the country. But as far as racing is concerned today around the country, it looks pretty clear all through the country today as far as the racing is concerned. Horseshoe Indianapolis has several stakes races today. They got six stakes races at Horseshoe Indianapolis today for $100,000, five of them for $100,000, and the main event is $150,000. And in the Too Much Coffee Stakes, you got a horse called Demolisher, who has won four lifetime right now and seems to be the horse to beat there. Rich Angle will be along later on. I think he has a Horseshoe Indianapolis pick for us today. Jonathan Hardoon will be with us. Of course, John Lendo and Jerry J. And, of course, our handicappers will be taking a look at the big races coming up this week. There are 15 Breeders' Cup win and you're in qualifying races left. They all happen this week through Sunday because, as you know, Keeneland will open up. Keeneland's first day of racing will be on Friday, I believe. And, of course, we'll have they're front-loading all of the Breeders' Cup winning and in races there at Keeneland. And, of course, there'll be a Breeders' Cup winning and in races on the big preview Saturday over at Belmont at Aqueduct. Santa Anita will have a few more as well. Just looking at the way it shakes up, starting on Friday, Aqueduct at Belmont will have two stakes races, one of which is the Breeders' Cup win and you're in. Keeneland, that opens on Friday, will have three stakes races. All three of them will be Breeders' Cup win and you're in races. On Saturday, Belmont at Aqueduct will have four key stakes races, two of them Breeders' Cup win and you're in. And Keeneland will have five stakes races on Saturday. Three of them are Breeders' Cup winning your ends. Santa Anita will also have five stakes races. And again, they will have three Breeders' Cup winning your end races. Woodbine will have four races, a couple of grade twos and a couple of grade threes, but no Breeders' Cup winning your ends there. And then on Sunday, no Breeders' Cup winning your end races on Sunday, except for the fact that the Miss Grillo Stakes, that was, you remember, postponed last week, will be run on Sunday. And that race is a Breeders' Cup win and you're in at Belmont Park, including two other graded stakes races. Keeneland will have three stakes races on Sunday, two of which will be Breeders' Cup win and you're in. Santa Anita will come up with the three grade threes. Hawthorne actually has two stakes races on Sunday, including the Hawthorne Derby and Woodbine will check in with a stakes race as well. But the big 15 Breeders' Cup winning your win races that are left, 14 of them scheduled for this weekend, starting on Friday through Sunday. And, of course, the one that was supposed to be held last week that was postponed, the Miss Grillo, will wrap it up. 15 left Breeders' Cup winning your in races, all happening this week. And, of course, as we say, Keeneland opens on Friday. And as far as this week is concerned, we have a couple of carryovers left over from Sunday, believe it or not. Tomorrow, Belmont at Aqueduct has an $83,000-plus carryover in their pick six. Ironically, on Thursday, the day before, I should say, I'm sorry, that'll be Thursday at Belmont at Aqueduct. On Friday, the day after that, there was money left on the table at Santa Anita on Sunday. Their pick six carryover will also be $83,000-plus. So we have carryovers on Thursday and Friday at both at Belmont on Thursday and San Anita on Friday. Keeneland opens on Friday, and we kick it off with the six stakes races today at Horseshoe Indianapolis. So it's going to be an exciting week for horse racing. That is absolutely for sure. Looking at the, now, you know, we got to do this countdown. 30 days, just 30 days left, 4 hours, 21 minutes, and 54 seconds in counting, to be exact, until the Breeders' Cup. And taking a look at the latest as far as the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic rankings. And by the way, this has nothing to do with the qualifying of the horses. It just has to do with the rankings voted on by the media, horse players, and members of the Breeders' Cup Racing and Director's Secretary Panel. So as we look at it, in number 10 is Tappet Trice. Number 9 is Seize the Gray. Number 8 is Arthur's Ride. The 7 is Yoshiba Tesoro, the Japanese horse. Number 6 is Highland Falls. Number 5 is Subsanador, the winner recently over the weekend for the California Crown. Subsanador is jumped right to number 5 from no place. Number 4 is Sierra Leone. Number 3 is Forever Young, another Japanese import, that Japanese horse. Number 2 is the big horse from Europe, City of Troy, and in the number 1 spot, right now in the rankings, Fierceness. And so those are the rankings for the Breeders' Cup Classic. So this is turning out to be quite a great Breeders' Cup Classic, I think, this year. And we'll, as you know, we'll be doing all our Breeders' Cup stuff here from the South Point Studios. Of course, we'll be covering day by day as we are right now, right up to Breeders' Cup and Breeders' Cup days as well on our race day shows in the morning. But we will have a special Breeders' Cup preview show that will happen on the Wednesday before Breeders' Cup. Not the Thursday before Breeders' Cup, but the Wednesday before Breeders' Cup, right here where you're watching now on the YouTube South Point Studios streaming network, and only on this South Point streaming network on Thursday, and that'll be at 4 p.m. Pacific time, the Thursday before the Breeders' Cup. And as you know, Breeders' Cup Friday, after the first of the Breeders' Cup races are conducted on Friday at 6 p.m. here at the South Point in the Grandview Lounge, we will hold our annual Breeders' Cup seminar with Jonathan Hardoon and John Lendo. It'll be, of course, in the lounge, so it's a lounge set up for entertainment at night. So you'll be able to sit down with nice tables there. We'll be on stage and talking about that. We will also be streaming it on the South Point network, the South Point website network. And we will be doing that on Friday night at the conclusion of the races for on the West Coast, which we'll do that about 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock we'll get started with the seminar on that Friday, November 1st. We'll wrap up the first day of Breeders' Cup and look ahead to the big Saturday Breeders' Cup events on that seminar on Friday. And then Saturday, Breeders' Cup Day, the big Breeders' Cup Day, November 2nd, we'll be doing the big Breeders' Cup party and viewing in the Grand Lounge here at, I should say, at the Grand Ballroom here at the South Point. It's on the second floor of the Grand Ballroom. Huge, big ballroom. Big, huge theater screens. You'll have other screens, of course, will show the other races on that day as well, so you can bet on any of the races that are available that day, including the Breeders' Cup races. And, of course, big banquet tables so you can spread out your racing form and all that goody information and sheets that you have on the big banquet tables. They'll have a huge bank of betting windows. They'll have kiosks up there for those of you who want to do a betting kiosk. Food and beverage discounts and food and beverage menus, etc. And, of course, a whole bunch of extra little things will be happening in that ballroom on Breeders' Cup Day, November 2nd. And everything that I just told you is free, including parking your car in our parking lot here before you enter the building. It's all free. So come and enjoy us and enjoy the Breeders' Cup with us on Breeders' Cup weekend here at the South Point, celebrating the Sport of Kings Championship weekend, okay? And if you're coming in from out of town, they'll have special Breeders' Cup packages for you in the hotel as well. Just give a call in the race book here, and they'll explain all that to you. So got all that going on, because after all, it's only 30 days. We're already in the month of October. This is October 2nd. We're already in the month of October. And, of course, we count down until the first 2 days of November for the Breeders' Cup. All right. Taking a look at some of the racetracks that have wrapped up over the weekend. Churchill Downs, their handle declined by 19.4%. And that, of course, has a lot to do with the fact that they had bad weather there and decimated fields and no turf racing, if you remember, for this past fall meeting at Churchill Downs. So they took a hit as far as the handle, 19.4% decline. Canterbury Park, which wrapped up over the weekend, actually had an increase in their handle by 12.4%. Canterbury Park, an increase of 12.4% there. And so we will wait and see. And, of course, the California Crown Day at Santa Anita, over 21,812 folks attended there. And now the finals are in on that. $23.5 million wagered over the 10-race card on California Crown Day at Santa Anita. Wasn't much handled. I think there was about a million and a half or so. Wasn't much handled on the California Crown races on track at the racetrack from the 21,000 that were there. But I could tell you it was a big hit as far as the simulcasting was concerned. $23.5 million for the Cal Crown, the first Cal Crown event ever. And, of course, this weekend at Santa Anita, another big weekend with all those Breeders' Cup winning your RIN races yet to come. All righty. And now we can take a look at the Heisa, what I call the police blotter, the Heisa blotter. Heisa has lifted the suspension that they gave to Robertino Diodoro, so he's off the hook there. They've lifted that suspension. But four jockeys, four of them, got one-day Heisa whip violation suspensions. They are Ricardo Santana Jr., Joel Rosario, Katie Davis, and Ruben Silva will also have a day on the bench because of a whip violation from Heisa. All righty. And by the way, over the weekend, the fastest buyer figure was by Straight No Chasers. He got 104 buyer figure in winning the stakes race at Santa Anita, the Santa Anita sprint race there on Sunday. Subsanador's win in the California Crown got 102 buyer figure there. All right, we're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, we'll start. We'll give you a quick recap of what happened on Sunday, the Oklahoma Derby, etc. And then we'll give you a racing menu, and then we'll be off with our handicappers. We got Jonathan Ardoon, Rich Eng, John Lindo, and Jerry J. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade.
And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas, taking a look at what happened on Sunday. Belmont at Aqueduct on Sunday. Of course, as you know, they already told you the Miss Grillo Stakes that was scheduled for the eighth race at Belmont at Aqueduct was postponed because of the bad weather they had over there over the weekend. So the Miss Grillo will be contested this Sunday at Belmont at Aqueduct, and it'll be the final of the 15 Breeders' Cup Win and Your End races left to be contested over this weekend. So that'll be on Sunday. So as a result, they didn't have a late pick four, late pick five, or a pick six. And remember, they had a carryover in the on Saturday in the pick six going into Sunday, but because they canceled the pick six on Sunday, that now pushes over until they resume racing on Thursday, the $83,000 carryover. Anyhow, Chad Brown, who is looking for his 10th Miss Grillo win, will have to wait until this Sunday to find out if he gets that 10th win. We will wait and see about that. Top Chad Brown, Christopher Clement, George Weaver, Brad Cox, they all had winners on Sunday at Aqueduct, those trainers there. And as far as the jockeys are concerned, Flavian and Pratt had a couple of winners at Belmont at Aqueduct. As a matter of fact, his first winner came in the Gallant Bloom Stakes at 6.5 furlongs with Ways and Means. This filly won that sprint. She was the dead favorite in the race, paid $2.90, outrunning Nick's Style and Sterling Silver there. Santa Anita on Sunday, day after the California Crown. We had a couple of really big long shots there that helped out with the pick six carryover. The sixth race winner, Commander, paid $40 even. Hector Barrios' second win of the day for Hector Palma's second win of the day. So Barrios and Palma had two wins by the sixth race yesterday on Sunday at Santa Anita. And then in the Zenyatta Stakes, the winner there was Sugarfish, Tyler Bays, winning for Jeff Mullins. That was Tyler Bay's second win of the day, paying $7.20, outrunning Alpha Bella and Desert Dawn. And in the Sprint Sanita Sprint Championship, as we said, Straight No Chaser wins that race. John Velasquez in California on Sunday got his second win of the day at Santa Anita with Straight No Chaser, paying $5 even for trainer Dan Blacker. Roll On Big Joe was second. See Through It was third. Big win by Straight No Chaser, the highest buyer over the weekend. And George Papadromo, trainer George Papadromo, also had two wins on the card, winning the third race with a $14 horse and the eighth race with the other long shot of the day at Santa Anita, $55.60. And that was John Velasquez was aboard that horse, believe it or not, a $55 horse before he won the sprint championship. So you have a carryover in the pick six at Santa Anita. By the way, the late pick five that started out with the $40 horse, then you got $7.20, $55, $60, $5 even, and $15.60. That late pick five on Sunday at Santa Anita paid $34,513.95. And at Remington Park, all those stakes races on Sunday, well, I can tell you this, a lot of the trainers came in for the big bucks at Remington on Sunday. Safi Joseph Jr. had a winner, Steve Asmussen had a couple of winners in stakes races. Mike Maker checked in with a stakes race win. And then the two big stakes races on the card, the Remington Oaks won by Alpine Princess, for Florent Guru for Brad Cox, paying $5.20. And then the Oklahoma Derby, the winner there was Most Wanted, again, Florent Guru for Brad Cox. So they won the two big races back-to-back at Remington Park on Sunday. That Oklahoma Derby winner paid $3.60, outrunning EJ Won the Cup, who was O'Neill's horse that came in from Southern California, and Indispensable that also came in from Southern California. You remember he was scratched from the California Crown on Saturday. All right, time to get started with the menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook Simulcast Center's racetracks around the country. Reminding you, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. If you're here in Las Vegas, these will be the first post times that roll out in the Racebook here at the South Point. But if you're listening on many different of the platforms that we welcomed at the top of the show, we know you're in different time zones. So adjust from your time zone to the Pacific time zone so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go with the menu of racetracks available today. We begin with Delaware Park. Delaware Park has a first post time of 9:30. Then we go to Belterra Park. Belterra Park, first post time at Belterra, has at 9:35. Then next comes Parks Racing. Now, Parks Racing has a Pick 5 jackpot carryover. Pick 5 jackpot carryover of $79,695. Their first post time is at 9:40. Following that comes Finger Lakes, upstate New York. Finger Lakes has a first post time of 10 a.m. 10 a.m. at Finger Lakes. Following that comes Horseshoe Indianapolis. Again, big racing today at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Six stakes races, $500,000. $150,000 race. Big racing day at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Their first post time today is 11:10. And then following that, we have Presque Isle Downs. They'll begin at 12 high noon. 12 high noon, first post at Presque Isle Downs. And we wrap it up with Remington Park. Remington Park's first post time is at 5:30 at Remington Park today. All righty. Now let's go to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Exciting weekend with the California Crown and all that. And your man, Brad Cox and Florent Garou, went to Remington Park and capped off the two big races, the Oaks and the Derby.
Yeah, they seem to show up on big days. And he's got a terrific barn, and he's full of talented horses. And they all seem to show up on these big days. Well, interesting, Ralph. ISA rescinded the penalty to Deodoro,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Why don't they wait until these things are official before they hand down the penalties, instead of trying to put a guy out of business and then coming back 3 months later saying, no, we lifted the rescindence? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, that destroying people's livelihoods and their careers, I don't get it.
Well, two things that I could probably point to. One is a government agency, so that makes all the sense when you talk about a government agency. But then again, too, I think they're kind of they're learning as they go, and I think they're starting to learn and understand that there's a lot of these marginal drug and marginal infractions that could be pointed to environmental, and I think they're trying to get their arms around that. But you're right. If there is a question, what they should do is just say you're under watch or whatever. Let them know.
Investigation, and that's it. Yeah,
and let them know, because I don't think they get the full grasp of the idea that these trainers have owners, and if something like that happens, you got an owner. Some owners might sit there and say, "Hey, I don't want my horses drugged or anything," and move them. And the other owners say, "Listen, I got to pay bills. I got to go to another trainer while you're working out your problems." So,
right, and then they go and they transfer the horse, and the horse will win with the new trainer. Deodoro's not getting the horse back, not so easy. So why not wait till the final verdict is in before you hand down these suspensions? It just doesn't make sense. They're shooting first and asking questions after. That's the wrong way to do business. Listen, what did they do this weekend? They got four jockeys for an extra whip. Wow, they really earned their money this week. It's a joke, Ralph. It's really a joke.
Well, I mean, I've said so many times on this show, how you determine a whip violation is if the horse comes back and has a welt or something on him, something that identifies this horse as being punished, not just guided.
Right.
There's a difference between guiding horses and startling them with the whips, which are the way the whips are made now, or actually harming the horse. And you have veterinarians and everybody out there that's good enough to know the difference when they see the horse coming back and say, okay, we got to tag this guy. Or you sit there and say, well, look, you had to startle this horse a little bit more than four times, five times, whatever the cutoff point is. I think they could learn and fine-tune that as well.
I mean, they fined Brian Hernandez for his ride on Torpedo Anna for giving the horse an extra hit or something. First of all, we've mentioned this on the show 1,000 times. These aren't the same whips that they used to be. The new whips really are Nerf whips, to be honest with you. I mean, listen, I'm not saying it doesn't hurt the horse.
It doesn't.
I don't know.
No, Jonathan, it doesn't hurt the horse. It startles them.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, it startles them.
That's the whole point. It just a wake-up call. That's all it is. It wakes them up and it gets them to concentrate. So, you know, to give a guy in a million-dollar race for hitting a horse an extra time when he gets speed ahead or something, that's a ridiculous penalty. It's just stupid. It's really, you're going to fine the guy for trying hard and put, you know, and laying it all down on the line. He's supposed to be thinking about how many whips he had in a driving finish. It doesn't make any sense, and it can't be done. It's just plain old ridiculous.
And there you are, folks. And you didn't think Jonathan was going to have a soapbox today.
I did. You got me started. I'm sorry.
Well, but I agree with you. I think they have to do some fine-tuning on some of the adjudications they're having, because it is a different type of sport and a different, parameters when you're talking about, definite fines of, you got a line here and you're not supposed to cross it. I think sometimes there's got to be an exception to it. That's for sure. Well, Belmont at Aqueduct has a carryover from, what is it, last Saturday? And the Miss
World. Yeah, well, they canceled the pick six on Sunday because they canceled the race, the Miss Gorilla. So that race was involved with the late pick five, the pick six, the pick four. All those horizontal bets were canceled. They'll be back tomorrow. By the way, no rain, hopefully, in the forecast. So hopefully the turf races will go tomorrow.
So what do you got, an in-studio band now playing on the side there?
I got a phone call. I thought the phone was off, but...
Well, that's at least it wasn't one of those rings that are annoying anyhow.
Horse Racing lost another friend, Ralph. Horse Racing lost Pete Rose, obviously one of the greatest baseball players of all time, and he obviously loved horse racing. A lot of days you were able to find him at Gulfstream Park in the High Rollers room. I remember seeing them there a few times, and he loved the game. He really did.
Well, I was going to save that when Rich Ain came on, because I, myself and Richie, when we were working at Turfway Park, where Pete Rose went a lot, because when he was, playing for and managing the Cincinnati Reds, Cincinnati is right over the river from where Turfway was at. He was there quite often. As a matter of fact, he had a personal box there at the racetrack. And we have a very interesting story with Pete Rose. All I can tell you is I think we're going to save that story for tomorrow. But Richie and I have known Pete personally. And believe it or not, a lot of the stories that people don't know, that Pete Rose had a Las Vegas home, and this is where he passed away. He passed away in his Las Vegas home here.
So the other night, natural causes at the age of 83.
Yeah, we had a day of memories on yesterday, October 1st. October 1st, of course, was the 7th year anniversary of the massacre that happened here on October 1st, 2017. And along with that, we found out that Pete Rose had passed away at his home. So, but Rich and I will share a story or two about Pete Rose later on, but I think it is a crying shame and the biggest injustice of Major League Baseball not to put this guy in the Hall of Fame while he was living so he could appreciate it. I don't want to see this posthumous stuff now. This guy, was an all-time record for hits. He had 4,256 hits in his day. And everybody who knew Pete Rose or even saw Pete Rose play and manage knew that he was called Mr. Hustle because of one thing only. He loved and wanted to win all the time. Now, if you got a guy who's betting on himself and betting on his team to win, is that really a crime?
It's certainly better than betting on your team to lose.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
I mean, we all knew that if he
had a standard bet, Ralph. Everybody knows he had a standard win bet on his team. What did he do so bad? And where are all these people that are talking up now that for years they had him banned and blacklisted? And all of a sudden, everybody loves him. Now, they should have been talking about this a long time ago. Yeah. They really should have. It's a crying shame, like you said.
Yeah.
And believe me, that was probably the most important thing to him in his whole life, was getting into the Hall of Fame, and he never got to see the day.
And now they bet like crazy on baseball and sports and
everything. Yeah, everybody has an app on their phone. It's nonsense. It's please.
Well, we will leave it at that because we will be pointing towards all the 15 Breeders' Cup winning year in races, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ralph. Stay safe and be well. No selections today. Nothing's running that I play.
Well, we'll get them from you tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right. When we come back, we will have Rich Ame with us. And, of course, we still have John Lindo and Jerry J yet to go. I know Richie's got a pick at Horseshoe Indianapolis for today as well. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you, buddy.
There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation and their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting t2t.org.
Hello, I'm Dennis Quaid. For years, Tunnel to Towers has demonstrated a commitment to first responders and military families. They've paid off mortgages and built specially adapted smart homes. Now the foundation is expanding its mission to eradicate veteran homelessness. Please give our veterans a chance to reclaim their dignity by donating at t2t.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday. Time to go out to Rich Ame standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, Jonathan Ardoon, of course, was reflecting on Pete Rose and his experiences with him. I know you and I have had a very personal experience with Pete Rose that I think I want to maybe to get into that story for Pete Rose because, you know, he was a friend, and I think we ought to honor him. But we'll get into that story tomorrow. I do know that, you know, Pete Rose, of course, he had a private box at Turfway Park. He came out. He loved the races. As a matter of fact, you know, he was taken to the races when he was young by, I believe, his father. But he just loved the races. In every place he ever played and or lived, he found the local racetrack to play the races. I am sure here in Las Vegas he had a phone app for a race book here somewhere. But in any case, the biggest takeaway from Pete Rose's career is the way they treated him in Major League Baseball, that if there's anybody that should be in the Hall of Fame, it is him with his record of all-time hits, etc., and his attitude for baseball. He just loved it. He lived and breathed it, and he was Mr. Hustle, that's for sure.
Yeah, we were friends with Pete. I knew Pete during the 7 years I was at Turfway Park, yep. And it's kind of ironic for me, Ralph, when I'm reading on social media about the Pete Rose Room at Turfway Park. Well, you're looking at the guy, folks, who built the Pete Rose Room,
yep,
at Turfway Park for him. I was the PR director at Turfway Park. I'll make a long story short, Ralph, because I know we're short on time. But when I started at Turfway Park, my predecessor was a fellow named Andy Furman, was the PR director, and he allowed Pete and his entourage to bet out of the press box at the former Latonia. Mm-hmm. And then when Jerry Carroll and some of his partners bought the track and renamed the Turfway, I went out there to be the PR director for a mutual friend named Dick Cummings, who was the VP and CEO. But anyway, so we started getting some media, like Jenny Reese and Mary Jean Wall and others coming out to the track, and they told me that they were not happy with having Pete Rose and his entourage in the press box. So I remember the first week of the meet, I had to ask Pete Rose and his entourage to leave the press box because they had working press here, and Pete gave me a tongue-lashing. This is the first time I met him. Pete gave me a tongue-lashing, you know, about that. And so for a while, he was bending downstairs in the clubhouse. And then I came up with the idea that I suggested to Dick was the fact that, you know, I was going to try to get a lot of national press to come in for the Jim Beam Stakes later that spring. Yeah. And there was a room adjacent to the press box that was just used as like an
auxiliary.
It was just a room that was being used for storing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, if we work on this room, fix it up, I could probably put about 8 or 10 press guys there. And then in the times that I don't need it as a press box auxiliary, I could offer it to Pete. And Dick said, that sounds like a great idea. So we built that over the winter. And then when it was ready, I went downstairs to go see Pete, who was at Turfway every day, so it wasn't easy, hard to find him. And I broached the idea to him, and all of a sudden, I was his best friend again. So that was the Pete Rose room, was the auxiliary press box.
Yep.
And when I didn't need it for media, I told Pete that it was his to use. So well, that's the story of the Pete Rose room.
All I know is that you did a Jerry Jackowitz impression. I'm glad that was, I hate to hear your long stories.
I got a bunch of Pete Rose stories, but
I want to go through a story that you and I both experienced with him on tomorrow's show, because it'll be a little bit longer than probably this is, so we'll do it earlier. But the one thing is, I remember every time I went into the press box, as I passed the Pete Rose room, he'd always snag me and say, who do you like?
Yeah, that was Pete.
Okay, Richie, I know we got a football game, so we'll talk about the NFL tomorrow. A couple of surprising things happening in the NFL again this weekend. But we are short in time, and I know that you're doing a pick today at Horseshoe Indianapolis. So where are we going?
Yeah. Before I give the pick, it's at the Horseshoe Indianapolis Race 9 route. But when Keeneland opens on Friday, as I've done for the last 7 years, I'll be doing two sheets every day, Keeneland and Santa Anita. So anybody who follows me, two sheets will be available starting Friday, Santa Anita and Keeneland. I'll be doing full handicap sheets. Race 9 at Horseshoe Indianapolis, Ralph, is the Cardinal Handicap. And I like the Kenny McPeak horse with Julian Lepereau riding. That's the number 4 Corningstone. This horse has been, quite frankly, mixing it up with tougher fields than faces today. This horse should get a nice stalking trip and finish. Let's go with the 4, Corningstone, in the 9th, the Cardinal Handicap, Horseshoe Indiana.
All right, Horseshoe Indianapolis today with all those stakes races, race 9. Number 4 is your selection. Number 4 is your selection there. And, of course, the race that I'm interested in is the Too Much Coffee Stakes, where Demolisher, who has broke his maiden and won 3 races since then, becomes the favorite, at least morning line favorite, in the 10th race, the Too Much Coffee Stakes. That's the 4 Demolisher there. I'm waiting to see if that one will keep an unbeaten record there. It'll be an interesting day today at Horseshoe Indianapolis. And, again, as you say, when Keeneland starts, you'll be doing a Keeneland sheet and, of course, continue at Santa Anita as well. So we'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll get a Thursday night NFL pick from you, too.
Yeah, I will do. Thanks, Ralph, and good luck, everybody.
All right, you got it. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with John and Jerry on this Wednesday show, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
My name is Rick Dempsey. I played 27 years in professional baseball, 24 years as a major league player. You know, you always worry about, I'm spending too much on the kids or something like that. But Tunnel to Towers takes care of everybody. It's a fantastic charity, but it's actually more than that. You know, it changes people's lives and gives them an opportunity to move on and to grow up without a lot of devastation in their life. The foundation is committed to delivering mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young children. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to t2t.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST. Never forget.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday. We now go out to John Lindo, standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. Looks like the sun is shining bright right there behind you in your window there.
It's gorgeous out here today. Yeah. I wish we were racing, but we'll have to wait till Friday, I guess.
Yes, and you as well as Richie, but you are also going to be covering Keeneland with the Lindo Report, right?
Absolutely. They drew the first three cars this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Outstanding field sizes, outstanding quality. It's really, really off to a good start. And you got to remember, in Kentucky, this is the first meet since August, where they're running both races on dirt and turf. They had Kentucky Downs, they had Churchill. Mm-hmm. So now you get them all. It's a really good group of races.
Well, I know, John, that you'll be with us a little bit earlier on tomorrow's show. We won't have Jerry or Jonathan on the show tomorrow. They are going to observe the Rosh Hashanah holiday. So we will go over a lot of the 15 stakes races across the country tomorrow, the Breeders' Cup winning your in races. But the one that intrigues me the most right now is the Breeders' Futurity out of Keeneland, where Ferocious, who finished second in the hopeful, and of course had such a jaw-dropping debut, goes in that race. He'll be taking two turns for the first time, obviously draws the rail. So I'm interested to see how he does in the race. It was a full field of 11 2-year-olds going in that Breeders' Futurity.
It's a good race because it's race 9 on Saturday. Ferocious drew the rail, which can be an advantage for that quick turn at Keeneland. And you've got some other horses in there. Handsome Pants comes off a nice maiden win where he got a little seasoning in behind horses and things at Churchill Downs going two turns.
Yep.
You've got East Avenue coming off a very easy win when he was bet like he couldn't lose over at the Ellis Park. And Dapper Moon comes off a good win at Saratoga. So they're coming in from all different places, all different distances. And that's one of the fun parts and the tough parts about handicapping these races. But Ferocious is there to get the two-turn experience. And, you know, after the debacle last time where he lost a shoe and, nothing went right, it'll be interesting to see if he bounces back to his maiden win.
And that is just an example of all of the Breeders' Cup winning or in crunch races this weekend. 15 of them that'll start on Friday and go right through Sunday. And we'll try to cover them all for you on the Race Day Show. And, John, just a quick recap of the California Crown. $21,812 was the counted attendance there on Saturday at Santa Anita. But I got to tell you, I think that crowd was there more to hear a concert and maybe drink and socialize, because although the handle was $23.5 million on the 10 races, I understand it was less than $2 million bet on live at the track.
Yeah, about $1.5 million on tracks. The per capita, the per wager per person out there on track was less than $100. So obviously that is not the crowd that's going to push the windows.
No.
It was more of an introduction to some of these people. We'll see if that turns into long-term clients or patrons. I'm not sure, but I guess the atmosphere was okay. And we'll see. They'll tweak this going next year after they get the results of what happened this year.
Uh-huh.
And Ralph, real quick before I sign off, There was a prep race today for the Breeders' Cup Classic. That was in Japan.
Yeah.
And the three-year-old Forever Young, who got beat two noses in the Kentucky Derby, won his prep race. He did it nicely. They ran a mile and a quarter in 2:04 over a very deep dirt surface in Japan. So I think he had the prep race. He needs to come over here for the Classic.
All right. Well, thanks for that update. That's for sure. It's going to be a hell of a Breeders' Cup. And, you know, we're going to have the seminars and all those special shows as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. 30 days away, John, that's for sure.
Doing our homework already. We got to get started.
You got it, my man. Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow and talk more about those other Breeders' Cup winning your in races.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right, you got it. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackwich. Jerry, good morning. What a bright, nice, bright shirt you have on today, Jerry.
Yeah, you know, it's Wednesday, so.
Right. Well, it's
I want to look good for Wednesday.
You got the stage, my man. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, you know, let's just continue the conversation about ROI and where and how understanding your ROI leads to how you bet. I mean, it's all connected one from one end to the other. So let's say you found out, oh my goodness, I am a winning player. Well, you don't need any more instruction. Just keep doing what you've been doing. But, oh my God, I'm a losing player. I'm not doing well. What can I do to be a better player? You know, you get your racing form, you get your speed figures, you get your tip sheets, you get all of your information, or you get none of it, whatever you do. You should have a purpose to be a winning player. That should be the idea. At least it was for me. And so that's what made horse racing a rich game. It wasn't just getting juiced up that I got a winner at the end. That too, the excitement of cashing a ticket. But that really wasn't what it was for me. It was, how do I go from being a loser and a good handicap to a winner? And that is a big transition. And believe me, it's rewarding in more ways than just financially. And it really starts with having a very disciplined approach to wagering. The amount you wager of your bankroll, win betting being primary, when your horse wins, you cash money then or immediately because of that. Like, for example, let's say I paid a pick three and I'm betting a 2-to-1 shot in the first leg and I think the next two legs can bust up. So maybe I go single all. That's just a win bet. But instead of getting paid out of the win pool, I'm being paid out of the pick three pool. When that horse wins, I'm a winner. I should be a winner for some amount. I may have to wait a little while to get it, but I know that money is good money. That's money good.
And then you give your chance of the crazy randomness in the next two races to really make a nice score.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And what does this tell you is that, but you need money. You need like $100 to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be betting, you know. So, you know, there's different places for you to play depending on the size of your bankroll. But you're better off making one good play for $100 than you are making 10 plays for $10 on the same card.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing I'll give out to you folks to think about.
All right, Jerry.
When I started,
go ahead.
I was going to say,
finish.
When I started professionally, I started with a $45 base bet, and I was able to make up to 4 bets a day. Mm-hmm. That was what I started.
Okay, I do want to just put a caveat. That is the way that you play to make money and find out to be disciplined in your wagering at races. But you and I both know that 90% of the people that go to the races, they want to kind of have action in every race. They want to have an interest, you know, because they love the fact of winning and losing and having the action and watching the race. So
I was that way before I became a professional.
Yeah.
When I became a professional, I stopped. I didn't even have to break the habit. The habit broke itself because I now had a purpose to my money.
Yeah.
And I had a purpose to my play. And I just, in fulfilling that purpose, all that other stuff just fell away.
Well, yeah. And that is if you want to take it professionally and seriously. And the most of the people just want to have some fun at the races. But it. We can combine the two and try to make money anyhow, that's for sure. All right. No, we're out of time, Jerry, so But what I do want to say is that you won't be with us tomorrow, but you'll be back with us on Friday.
Right.
Okay.
And if I may add, there will be a power page for Aqueduct tomorrow, but there will be no power pages for me on Friday since I do them tomorrow, and tomorrow is the observance.
All right, you got it. One more thing to say, so go ahead and say it, buddy.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Cilotto at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.